Welcome to another Encompass Church podcast. We hope that you are inspired and challenged by God's word. For more information about our church, please check out www.encompass.org.au.
You lovely people. Whatever you're doing with your hair, keep it up. It looks fantastic. All right. So, yes. Welcome to this session if you're joining us, and welcome back to those who are here. This is a great idea your pastor has had to sort of have that common theme across the three services. So when I make these trips to the east, I'm always on the spot for any new ideas, and this is a great church and you're doing a lot of great things, so I'm going home with some great ideas. Yes, and as Pastor John was saying, my heart is for wholeness. I believe that is one of the critical kingdom issues, that we use this word salvation, but actually when we look at the meaning of this word salvation, it has a lot to do with wholeness. And one of the primary things that Jesus came to do through the cross is actually restore humanity back to God's original intention, which is wholeness. And so, yes, unashamedly, that's one of the primary passions. So in regard to leadership, I'm more addressing the inner life of the leader. You know, we spend a lot of time talking about the behavior of people who aren't whole. So it's like we're always brushing away the cobwebs, but we need to go after the spider. The spider is, let's talk about where these cobwebs are coming from, where these behaviors are coming from, and let's deal with the spider instead of all the time just addressing the behavior issues. Wholeness addresses those. And so that's where I'll be going again in this session. The best you is a healed you. The best you is a whole. You're just at your best when you're whole. We can go to particular seminars and they can give us all great truths and we all put our hand on our heart and say, yes, that is sound wisdom. But if I'm giving those truths to a hurting, broken heart, they're incapable of doing them. That yes, we can agree that these are the things, but if I'm wrestling with all my insecurities and all sorts of behavior patterns, I need to address personal wholeness. And we see that when Jesus declares the nature of his ministry, we're going to read that in just a moment from Luke chapter 4. He gets the scroll of Isaiah and he unravels the scroll. He knows exactly where he's going. He's going to a messianic prophecy that speaks about the intention of what he's come to do. And I want you to hear as we read it, it's got a lot to do with the inner life. It's got a lot to do with wholeness. So let's read this. This is what Jesus declared about his ministry. He says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, to release from darkness for prisoners, and proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." So poor, brokenhearted, captives, prisoners. Jesus wasn't talking about a prison ministry. He was talking about the inner state of humanity, and that his anointing, that what he'd come to do is actually minister wholeness into these areas. And Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So what immediately I want to get you to open to is right now, as I'm speaking to you, this very same Jesus is leaning into this moment with that very same intent. This isn't not something he was just declaring for that moment, but also for this moment. The Spirit of Jesus is the same, the brokenhearted. He wants to heal them. The prisoners, people that are trapped on the inside, he wants to set them free, captives, etc., and so on. So it's still the intention of Jesus that we experience these things, And so that's how we need to relate to the presence of Jesus. Not as a goosebump, not as a warm, fuzzy feeling, but when we're in his presence, we should relate, very definitely relate to it as we're being in the presence of our healer. What we're feeling as we sense God's presence is actually this very same Jesus bringing healing and wholeness to us. And so I'd love you as we move through this message in this session, just to have a part of you that's open to that. Just keep your heart open to the fact that this is more than just Sermon 23/8. That there's a proclamation going on, and the Spirit of Jesus is here in this place, doing some good things. So we're not so much talking about the cobwebs. So many different cobwebby behavior we could talk about, and that we'd all agree about. That's not good. Yes, let's not do that. But the spider, we need to get to the spider that keeps creating this behavior. And that's what we're going to do. And so having heard what I just said about this, this is the intent and heart of Jesus still is our personal wholeness. I want to take us to three occasions where we see Jesus proclaiming wholeness and again capture the context that he's still speaking that. He's still, that same heart and intent is just as real and fresh this morning. And so be open to the fact that as I present these proclamations that he's speaking it into your life. Can we do that together? Yeah. Let's go for it. And the first one is, so I'm going to read to you three. The first one is taken from Luke chapter 10. Many of us know the story of Mary and Martha, and I won't read it for the sake of time. I'll explain what's happened. But before we do that, come on, let's pray together. And so, Lord, I thank you that you're leaning into this moment. I thank you for the life and liberty and release from the front to the back, the left to the right. I thank you that you're hovering over this time. And Lord, we want to leave here with more than just another sermon. We want to leave here changed. And I thank you that that's your heart and intent. And I stand here confident that, Jesus, your healing ministry is here for the taking. And we open to that and receive from it today in Jesus' name. Amen. So Luke chapter 10, Mary and Martha, Jesus is coming to their house. He begins teaching. And in the kitchen is Mary and Martha. And Mary gets it in her head that she doesn't want to be in the kitchen. She wants to be in the front room where Jesus is. And so off she goes and plonks herself down and starts to be a part of this discipling teaching session. Martha is not happy with that, so she goes to Jesus and said, "Hey, listen, can you tell my sister to get back in the back room and give me a hand because, you know, you guys are going to need to eat soon?" And so we read this whole situation, and you'd have to ask yourself, what is this domestic tiff between two sisters doing in our Bibles? I mean, why do we need to know this? Why is this recorded? Well, hidden from our Western eyes is something huge going on. Something that is a major statement of how Jesus, the kingdom culture of Christ, is going to radically change the culture of that time. But there's something here for us. In the culture of the time, women were treated more as a commodity than a person. And they lived socially separated lives from men. In fact, the kitchen is where they are. In fact, I travel in countries today where that still is the cultural norm. As soon as I turn up, the women head off to the back room. It's just, you know, the men are here, the women are there, and that's just the way that they roll. There's this segregation going on. And so we're told that Mary walks from the kitchen to the front room and sits at the feet of Jesus. And we'll note that phrase, sitting at the feet of Jesus. And again, that's a phrase to our Western minds that we don't get what we're being told, but we're actually being told something very significant. In a Jewish context, to sit at the feet of Jesus was the term that they would use when Jesus accepted them as a disciple. Paul in Acts 22 referred to himself as sitting at the feet of Gamaliel. So we're not meant to be just thinking of the physical act of sitting there. That phrase is there in our Bibles to tell us that Jesus was embracing her at that level and giving her a place amongst his disciples. And so something huge is happening here. Mary is stepping out and breaking free of her social position of suppression and segregation. Martha surprisingly comes out to complain and to ask Jesus to tell her sister to get back in her place. That's what she was actually doing. Tell her to know her place and get back in it. And so when Jesus gives Mary this sitting at his feet, we're actually giving an insight into this kingdom culture and how radically different it is. And in fact, he says, woman, take your rightful place. That's what he was actually saying. He was saying, woman, take your rightful place beside these men in my church. I give value to you. I give position to you. I give you a place alongside of it. And so you could imagine when Martha had gone forward and was complaining, they were totally shocked when Jesus didn't agree with Martha and say, yeah, that's right, get back there. When Jesus said, this is right, Martha, you have chosen the best part and it will not be taken away from you, you stay right here. That was a huge moment right there. And so Jesus was saying, even if we can hear it saying to women in this room right now, come and sit at my feet and receive your wholeness. Come and sit at my feet and receive your wholeness. And these words is Jesus silencing the voice of those who are seeking to intimidate and contain. And so if ever we needed an example of Jesus being embracing kingdom culture and saying things are going to be different in my kingdom, that yes, you might come from this culture and that culture, but now there's kingdom culture, and this is where kingdom culture functions. And in kingdom culture, I am embracing male and female. All right. And so I want to just speak to women in this room right now that this is particularly applicable to. Some of women in this room have Martha-type people in their life that are seeking to just keep them in the kitchen, keep them in there in a certain place of containment. I'm not speaking to the culture of this church, by the way. This is not me. I'm talking about what's going on in your home life, what's going on in life personally, all right? And you might even feel a thing that I would call soulish witchcraft. It's not demonic witchcraft. It's controlling behavior of others. It's intimidation. When we feel the intimidation of others, we're actually feeling more of a soulish a soulish witchcraft going on. But the Lord says, you've been asking me for a breakthrough in your life, But the breakthrough you seek is triggered by a breaking from the things that are holding you back. See, often we talk about a breakthrough, but actually a breakthrough is a breaking from. What does that mean? That there are certain things holding me back from moving forward. Breaking through is the result of me breaking from these things that are holding me back. And some in this room, you've been praying for a breakthrough, but the Lord says this is actually the need for you to break from certain limitations that you've felt on your life, suffocating mindsets that you're holding on to from the past. And the Lord's saying, come on, you say you want to break through, well, you need to break from this in order to break through. And so I'm praying that same trailblazing pioneer spirit that was on Mary will get on some woman in this room right now. That same trailblazing, I'm breaking out, I'm going to be totally who I am by the grace of God, will get on some woman in this room right now in Jesus' name. And that you will hear this same Jesus calling you to the front of the house. Calling you to the front of the house. Don't go back to where the pressure of the status quo has held you in the past. I give you place, Jesus says. I give you place. You need to hear that. And flowing on from that, we have another, I think, proclamation that Jesus gives in a similar regard in Luke chapter 13. We'll take some time to read this. Luke chapter 13, 10 to 17. It says, now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath day. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and she was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. That's important. That's there because we're meant to take note of this woman. She was bent over and she could not raise herself up. And it turns out that was not a physical injury. That was a spirit doing that to her. And Jesus discerned that this wasn't her falling off a donkey when she was 12 and now this is... No, this was a spirit of infirmity causing this. And when Jesus called her, he saw her, he called her to him and said to her, woman, you're loosed from your infirmity. And he laid his hands on her and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. So let's unpack this. This is, you know, the Bible says the things that Jesus did were signs and wonders. This is a sign miracle. In other words, we're meant to be doing more than just going, that's so wonderful that he did that for the lady. There's a teaching miracle here. This is here for us to learn something. It's a sign to us. What's the sign? So there's a crippling spirit at work here, causing this woman, and of all things it was causing her physically to manifest was somebody bearing a heavy weight, heavy load, bent down, couldn't straighten up. And she didn't know it was a spirit doing that. The people in the village didn't know it was a spirit doing that, but Jesus discerned that this is what was going on. And so he speaks out this word, woman, you're loosed. And immediately we're told she was set free from that. And the gospel writers want us to know that this was happening on the Sabbath day while Jesus was teaching in the synagogue. So the context that we're meant to get is it was an unusual time for him to deal with this. I mean, he could have waited till after the sermon. But it's like he sees her and he stops and he wants to deal with it straight away. He wants to address it straight away, right there in the middle of his message. It's like something just rose up in him that incensed him and he wanted to break this thing off her life immediately, because he discerned it was the enemy's work in her life. I'm going to put it to you that there was more happening there than just what was going on with this woman. I'm going to put it to you that part of the reason why Jesus was so incensed with this was he saw more than just this individual woman being burdened and messed up through this spirit. He saw the feminine. The feminine that God intended to be free and open and beautiful on the earth, he saw the work of the enemy oppressing and suppressing and twisting out of shape God's intention of what women are meant to bring to the earth as an expression of the feminine of God. And this is a sign to you, ladies, that Jesus is not going to tolerate that. And he was just so incensed in that moment. Now, what do I mean by women representing the feminine of God? That's a phrase that some of you maybe have never heard before or even thought about. Well, this is a heresy that comes from the West. And no, I'm only saying. Pastor John will sort of. No, I'm going to take you back to the original time of creation and get you to think about what happened there in the garden. That originally God created a single entity, right? But eventually he separated that into male and female. That how he began was one, and how he ended up was two. And to create the second, the female, he didn't reach down into the earth again. He reached into the side of the first being and took something out and created the feminine. Did you all get that? So to the first being he created, he said, you're going to be my representative on the earth. I'm going to make you my likeness and image so you can represent me on the planet. So now it takes male and female to correctly represent the heart of God on the earth. And any society that suppresses the feminine will end up with an aborted or not a full expression of the heart and intention of God on the earth. Any society that suppresses the feminine, there will not be the full representation of the heart of God. And so fast forward now to this, the synagogue, where Jesus is standing there, the Son of God, looking at this woman, looking at her as a marred representation of the original intent of God, of what the feminine is meant to bring to the earth. This woman who was bent over and couldn't stand up straight because the enemy was at work in her life, manifesting in that certain way, unable to raise herself up because of a heavy weight. But not only, if you like, was Jesus looking at that woman, he was looking at woman in this room. He was looking down through the corridors of time. He was looking at the original intent, knowing what the original intent for the feminine was, and looking at this and proclaiming over you too. Woman, you're loosed. Come on, stand up straight. Nothing more beautiful than a woman standing up straight. Nothing more beautiful than a woman fully expressing the feminine of God on the earth. And so to people in this room, I'm saying, you know, sometimes people will say, come on, get on with it, stand up straight. And normally that would be good advice, but there's something more going on of a spiritual nature that you need to get set free from in order for that to actually happen. In my years of ministry, I know the struggles that are familiar to men. But after countless prayer lines and counseling sessions, I'm also familiar with the struggles that women go through. In the same way the enemy exploits the passions of men to ensnare them, he exploits the sensitivity of women to ensnare them. And so the beautiful intention of God for woman ends up bent out of shape as they're harassed and they struggle with self-doubt and intimidation, they're bent over and they can't stand up straight, and the enemy is exploiting that beautiful aspect that meant to bring so much to the earth. He's exploiting it to keep them down, to keep them suppressed, to keep them bent over. How am I going? Am I communicating here all right? So as it was in that synagogue long ago, so if you can get it, so it is in this moment, ladies. So it is in this moment. Jesus speaks his proclamation over you. The Lord says, I see that thing operating in your life that's keeping you down, that's harassing your mind, that's weighing on your soul. I see the beautiful intention of what I created you to be being suppressed. And I want to say, woman, you're loosed. Stand up straight. And it says she stood up straight and she immediately began to glorify God. She took her place as a true expression of the feminine on earth. And that leads us to this third proclamation that I wanted to bring to you as I'm bringing these three together eventually. The third one is found in John chapter 11, where Jesus raises Lazarus from the grave. Again, a familiar verse to many of us. It says, then they took away the stone. This is John chapter 11, verses 41 to 44. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you, you have heard me, and I know you always hear me, but because of the people that are standing by, I said this that they might believe you sent me. I love that little aside that Jesus is saying, I'm only saying this out loud for the benefit of these guys, because I know you actually, but anyway, let's do it for them. Father, it's quite amusing, obviously the relationship Jesus was enjoying there. But then it says, and then when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound. He came out alive, but bound with grave clothes. And his face was wrapped in a cloth. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Loose him and let him go. So again, apart from the fact we're glad for Lazarus, this is a teaching miracle. This is a sign. And we're meant to be learning from it. And in this miracle, we see Jesus needing to give two commands. The first command, he's calling that which is dead back to life. And we could liken that to our salvation experience. That who are dead are becoming alive again. You know, our initial moment of experiencing the born again experience. But Jesus sees us coming alive and he has to speak again. Because even though we're alive, we've got grave clothes on. Now these were things that were put on us in the past. And so even though we're alive, we're still bound. Even though we're alive, we can't give full expression to the life we now have. And Jesus has to speak a second time and say, that's not good enough. Yes, you're alive, but I want you to be free. I want you to give full expression to this life, not this. I want you to be totally free. So now loose him and let him go. Grave clothes need to come off. Things that were put on us that we still have on us. Yes, born again. Yes, saved. But grave clothes are still there. And Jesus is declaring over you and I this declaration of loose and let go. See, really all he's doing is telling us to become who we are. He knows who you are under your grave clothes. He knows because he put it there. And now he's saying, come on, I've given you gift, I've given ability, I've put this grace, this life in you. Now I need these grave clothes to come off so you can give full expression to that. See, I meet some people who are blunt and stubborn and wounding with their words, and yet they tell me, oh, that's just who I am. I meet some other people who are timid and fearful, and they tell me, well, that's just my nature to be that way. And I want to say, they are so used to their grave clothes, they are now calling those clothes them. They are so used to doing life like this, it's become the accepted fashion of humanity to act in dysfunction and brokenness. The world is yet to see, and it's starting to see, what a real human being, healed and whole, actually looks like, with no grave clothes on. We are so surrounded by a society and culture that it's part of the fashion of humanity. And so when somebody actually starts being free, they call us weird. It's like, what? That's called freedom. That's how humans are meant to live and express themselves. And so sadly, so often we adjust and we accommodate our grave clothes. And we call that us. Jesus says, no, that's not you. Loose, let him go. Get that off of him. Yes, I've called him back to life, but look at him. Look at her. That's not the expression of my intent. So have you allowed your grave clothes to define what you can expect to experience from life? Well, that's just who I am. I want to tell you something. When Jesus was creating you, he didn't think, you know, a little bit of intimidation, a little bit of dysfunction, let's put that in there, and there you go. God has not given you a spirit of fear. So how did you get one? That's a grave clothes. That's something that came on you later on, and he's saying, I didn't give you that. Don't you call that part of the personality I gave you. That's grave clothes. Come on, we need to hear some grave clothes coming off this morning, grave clothes tearing and coming off. So I'm going to ask the singers and musicians to come back, and that doesn't mean we're finished. It just means we're creating a moment now. For women in this room, if that applied to you, you need to move to the front of the house. You need to throw off some restraints that have been put on you. You need to understand that Jesus is calling you and saying, this is your place. Woman, take your place. And woman, come on. I want you to stand up. This church will thrive as the male and female expression of God has come to great places of liberty. We actually need both of them. We need both of them to actually give full expression to the glory of God. And we need to stop calling our grave clothes our personality. That we need to understand, no, this is, until we can separate, until we can call it what it is, this is grave clothes stuff. Instead of embracing that as in somehow this is part of my makeup. No, it's not. Call it for what it is. Jesus sees you alive, but if he sees you like this, he says, loose him and let him go. I can't stand that. I've called him to life. I've called her to life. And I just know that's just not my intent for that person's life. Can we stand together? Right now, we're just going to create a moment of worship. And we're not seeking a hiding God. We're not trying to pursue a God who's reluctant. Jesus has been waiting for me to finish so he can rush into this moment that we're creating right now. Woman, you are loosed. Woman, take your place. Strength to you. In fact, we need you, woman, to take your place, to stand up straight. because you are bearing the image of God in the feminine. Loose and let him go. I speak it out over grave clothes. I speak it out of dysfunction this morning. We hear the sound of grave clothes ripping and coming off in Jesus' name. We speak freedom and release and wholeness. This life we have received is now without restraint in its expression. Woof. And we enjoy the liberty. Lord, let your glory be revealed through the life and liberty and release of the people of God in this place, in the marketplace of life, not just behind these four walls, but right out in the may we take the life and liberty of Jesus out into the marketplace where we find ourselves, in our home, in our marriages, in our workplaces, in our interaction with others. Jesus, you set us as lights in this world. Help us, Lord, not to hide, not to be put away, but Lord, in prominent places, begin to bring light and life in Jesus' name. Come on, let's sing this song together.
Thank you for listening to this Encompass Church podcast. Make sure you check out our website, www.encompass.org.au. We are Encompass Church, a place to belong.